Morning, everyone. Today, I have the honour of closing out our series on the Gospel of the Kingdom. Last time, Nikki did such a splendid job in teaching us on how to be now and not yet people. And today, I am going to be looking at the demonstrating of the Kingdom. Now, to do this, we need to understand the calling and authority that we have as disciples of Jesus to proclaim and declare your kingdom come, to announce the kingdom like Jesus did. And Jesus doesn't just bring the kingdom himself, he commissions the disciples to go and announce and demonstrate the kingdom. Jesus was physically present with the early church, and Jesus is with us today by the Holy Spirit. His presence is the same. His power is the same. Do you know, I can remember years ago when I was reading about the early church and the Bible and the New Testament, and I thought, oh, it's okay for them because they've got Jesus with them. It's so easy for them. It's so hard for us to understand and do all this stuff. And then I remember, then an actual fact, it's not what I remembered, I realised that we also have Jesus with us, represented by the Holy Spirit. An actual fact, we have it better because we have got the Bible. We've got the fullness of the Bible, whereas they only had it up until Jesus. So actually, we've got it better. So I'm much happier with that, you'll be pleased to know. Anyway, the coming of the kingdom is the becoming present of the rule of God. God's rule, which will take place at the end of the age, breaks into this present age. The witness of the New Testament is that Jesus is the personification of that coming. That is why Jesus is God with us. And to say, thy kingdom come, is to say, come, Lord Jesus. To say Jesus is present is the same as saying, the kingdom is here. You see, Jesus knew his calling and his identity. There were two great kings in Israel, King David and King Solomon. And Jesus knew that he was greater than both of them. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, he entered as a triumphant king. And in Israel, kings were elected by public announcement. The people would shout, long live the king. And in the New Testament, we see a connection here between kingship and announcement. In 2 Timothy 4, it says, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. Now, this word preach in this verse is translated from the Greek word kerygma, meaning proclamation or announcement. In the Roman times, they didn't have televisions or Sky News or internet so to make these announcements. So the word kyrex means herald or announcer. They would be sent out by the ruler of the day to call out in a clear voice an item of news to be made known. They would enter a town, find a prominent public place, make their announcement or proclamation, and then would go from town to town doing the same. And the kyrex was always under the authority of someone else. His office had an official bearing, so when he gave the official announcement, it became binding. It became the law. It was nothing up until that point. As soon as they gave the announcement, it changed straight away. In the Gospel of Matthew, Mark and Luke, this word kyrax is used to describe what happened in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus heralded in the powers of the age to come by a clear public proclamation. In fact, it was Jesus' words or announcements that caused things to happen. When Jesus spoke, eschatological events or kingdom events began to take place. The very announcement of the nearness of the kingdom of God resulted in its powers being unleashed. And Jesus began his ministry with the announcement of the nearness of the kingdom. Mark 1:14 says, later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent your sins and believe the good news. Now this was immediately followed by an act of demonstration that the announcement was actually in effect. Jesus went to the synagogue with his newly called disciples where he was confronted by a man possessed with an evil spirit, Mark 1:25. But Jesus reprimanded him, "Be quiet, come out of the man," he ordered. And at that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and then came out of him. Amazement gripped the audience and they began to discuss what had just happened. "What sort of new teaching is this?" they asked excitedly. "It has such authority. Even evil spirits obey his orders." This demonized man was set free by the authoritative words of Jesus. He then continued to perform miracles and miracles, healing people and casting out demons. Like a herald, Jesus had an urgent commission to preach in all towns. In Mark 1:38, Jesus said, "We must go to other towns as well, and I will preach to them. That is why I came." So he travelled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. And as Jesus proclaimed and announced the coming of the kingdom, it became synonymous with healing and deliverance. A leper was healed because Jesus said, "I am willing." A lame man walked because Jesus said, "Arise." And when Jesus said, "Go," the demons went. You see, we can look at Jesus' public ministry. It consists of words and works. Jesus always proclaimed and then he demonstrated. And you know what? The scary thing for the disciples was that Jesus expected them to do the same. And you know the scary thing for us? Jesus expects us to do the same. And herein lies the connection between the coming of the kingdom then and now. So, what is your expectation? How do we build an expectation of God in our lives? Well, Jesus told us to pray, "Let your kingdom come." And in the vineyard, we like to say, "Come, Holy Spirit." And "let your kingdom come" and "come, Holy Spirit," they are kind of the same prayer. To have expectations, we have to get a full understanding of what the kingdom expectation is. If we have a small expectation, then we'll not see much. But if we get a kingdom expectation, that leads us to pray the kingdom prayer. "Let your kingdom come." And out of this prayer, we make the announcement of the kingdom. Kingdom expectation is when we pray expecting that there will be an act of God from our announcement. Imagine that you pray the Lord's Prayer and you see your kingdom come, not just as a learned habit, but as an expectant request. Expectation changes how we pray. Now you may have noticed that often now I've started to pray, "Let your kingdom come in Falkirk as it is in heaven." Have you noticed? And this is because my expectations has changed. And because my expectation has changed, therefore my prayer has changed. I truly believe that whatever is released in heaven can be released on earth. And I believe that whatever is released on heaven can be released in Scotland. And I believe whatever is released in heaven can be released in Falkirk. I truly believe that. And I believe that wherever you are, whatever is released in heaven can be released wherever you are right now. If you're not in Scotland and you're somewhere else, that is the same for you. And whatever is bound in heaven can be bound in heaven, in earth. Jesus announced the coming of God's kingdom and then demonstrated the words and power of the kingdom. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray all the time, "Your kingdom come," the announcement of the kingdom of God. "Your will be done," the demonstration of the kingdom of God. The expectant announcement of the kingdom is followed by the demonstration of the kingdom. To truly announce the kingdom is to demonstrate the kingdom. Even in doing this, there will be a mystery. It will be a mystery in how much we see happening and how much we don't see happening. Because ultimately, it's a mystery. And we have to get okay with that. But the more we faithfully announce the kingdom, having prayed for the God's kingdom to come, the greater our expectation of the kingdom, the more we will see the kingdom coming. In growing our expectation, I have another question. How big is your God? Not how big is God, but how big is your view of God? Because if your view of God is small, then you'll not see much. Actually, do you know what? It could be said that all our view of God is too small. So, how do we stretch our small vision into the full vision of the kingdom? Well, first thing, read your Bible. It's all in there. Especially the Old Testament and the prophets. And have a look at the prophetic promises like in Isaiah. Meditate on books like Isaiah. Let it go deep into your mind, into your heart, into your soul. And then have a look at the New Testament. Look at the fulfillment of the expectation of the coming of the kingdom in the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the early church. Look at what Jesus does. Look at how Jesus preaches. Look how Jesus announces the kingdom, followed by demonstrations through healing the sick and driving out demons. Have a look at Acts and Luke. They're quite similar. And look how the early church mirrors Jesus' ministry. The point of this is that if the early church can do what Jesus did, then so can we. That they were humans, just like you and I, anointed by the Holy Spirit. The early church operated like Jesus, anointed by the Spirit. And we can operate like Jesus, anointed by the Spirit. Another thing we can do is read books. Read books on revival. Many of us have settled for a set expectation or a known expectation that, well, revival, that's something in the past. Not much is going to happen if I pray for revival. But when you start to read these books, book after book on revival, you can't help but change your expectation, because you start to think, wow, God, if you brought revival in Scotland just 70 years ago, then you can do it again. And please use me. Do you know, this is what Andrew and I have been praying for. And that's why we pray on a Sunday evening, is for revival. Revival not just for Scotland, but for Falkirk. And I believe that will happen in my lifetime. We are praying for revival and we expect it to happen. Yeah. Good leader repeats himself. Another great way is to renew your mind by reading God's mighty deeds in history over and over again and again. And this will change your expectation, and it will also change your worldview. You see, the more you see, the more you expect. The more you expect, the more you will see. No matter where you are on your journey, try to grow your expectation of the coming of the kingdom. And out of that, pray the kingdom prayer. Look at the relationships and words of Jesus. Look at the works and words of Jesus announcing the kingdom, which unleashed the works of the kingdom. We have a look at that. We'll have a look at that later today. But how do we bring in the kingdom of God? What unleashes the coming age to break into this present age? Is this something we just leave to the sovereignty of God and we'll pray sometimes? Or can we actually partner with God and be the instruments in the inbreaking of the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is a reality that is present, near, delayed, and future. It has a mysterious nature to it. So when we pray, our Father, Father in heaven. This begins a radical and dangerous prayer. It's praying for the final future God has for humanity, the end of the world into the presence of Jesus Christ. That's what we're praying for when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Did you know that? If we were to pray that prayer and God were to answer, in any given context, we would see our towns transformed. We would see our cities transformed. We would see our region transformed. We would see our nations transformed. When you read the history of the Bible, people prayed and the kingdom swept in. This is what happens when we pray with that level of expectation and faith. It is powerful. It becomes more than just a devotional time. These are times when we're really calling on God and for God to move. And I think Jesus taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer not just to be an utterance, but more for it to be followed as a spiritual discipline. So it begins, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, by exalting the great name of God and declaring what kind of God he is, you reflect on his great and mighty deeds that he has done from Exodus to the Davidic monarchy, right through to the coming of Jesus, through to history of revivals that we have seen, well, recent revivals. God, you are a great God. You have stretched out your hands in signs and wonders. Many times you have done many great things. This is the God we worship, Yahweh, the one who becomes present. I am who I am. We proclaim the name of God. Let your kingdom come. Come, Holy Spirit. By praying like this, the disciples are saying, we are hallowing the divine name of God. They are saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed by your name. What's happening here is disciples are quoting back to God the text about his great power. Then they prayed, let your kingdom come. And here we have the clash of the kingdoms. What we're actually saying is, in praying like this, is let your kingdom come and break into this world we are living in and do the signs of the kingdom. In the book of Acts, when they prayed, your kingdom come, the kingdom came. The kingdom came to the early church during Pentecost in the upper room where the 120 people were. They were waiting, praying and expecting the Holy Spirit to come. And he did. And that is the kind of prayer that we are called to pray. Lord, we need you to be with us. We need you to come through us. We need you to help us to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Come, Lord, and do great things. This is how we need to be praying right now. And out of this, we are announcing the kingdom, the words and works of Jesus. In our words, we announce the kingdom. And in our works, fueled by the Holy Spirit, we demonstrate the kingdom. We are to be announcing to this world the reality and availability of the future kingdom of God. As we say it, so we must do it. And this takes some courage. When we pray, come Holy Spirit, we just wait. We wait for God to do something. And either God does or he doesn't. If he chooses not to do anything, then we might feel a bit foolish or look a bit foolish. Because especially if it's in a church context, because you've preached it, you spoke about it, you've told people it's going to happen, and then nothing. But every time you announce the kingdom, you run the risk of looking foolish. And we need to get okay with that. It's actually much easier, you know, to never make any announcement, to never create expectation, and to keep a low profile as possible as a Christian. But that is not kingdom ministry. Kingdom ministry is going to the edge with great expectation about how powerfully God is going to move. And you announce it again and again and again. But the fact is, the more you move in this era, the more you will see. You will see. But there's a few things we've got to watch out for and remember. Remember, we cannot play God. Let God be God. He's actually much better than us. Sometimes we will announce the kingdom in great power and God will move. And sometimes we will announce the kingdom in great power and God will not move. You see, we cannot turn God on like a switch. God is God. He calls us to be faithful, to keep taking risks, to keep living on the edge, and to keep making the announcement. And then wait. Then wait more. You see, we can't make it happen. Either God does something or he doesn't. And Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. If we are speaking with someone or we feel we want to do something for someone or we get a word about something for someone, the chances are God has already started working with that person before we got there. We're just getting to be one link in that chain of events. The key thing is to see what God is doing and move with God rather than try to make things happen. So much easier when we just see what God's doing and then jump in. And in church, you can see the Holy Spirit on people because they start to engage differently. And I've learned over the years, in church especially, just to wait, to watch and not get in the way of what God is doing. Rather, just get alongside that person and just bless what God is already doing. You see, we're not making anything happen. We are just simply following the signs of God. We need to learn how to wait on God. And it sometimes can be uncomfortable. And it certainly can feel awkward at times. But the more we wait, the more we will see God move. And then the gifts of the Spirit spark from announcement to demonstration. So this morning, what is your expectation? Have you tuned in this morning because you're in need of a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit? Or do you have worries and concerns and have anxious thoughts and you need to surrender these things to God? Do you need a physical touch? Are you in pain? Is there a part of your body that is needing healing this morning? Or did you expect to join in this morning because you knew you came expecting that God would meet you where you're at? Or did you just come with no expectation of receiving anything? I believe that this morning, that the Father wants to meet every one of us right here, where you are. And in a moment, I'm going to pray for us. And if you would like to receive the Holy Spirit, I invite you to open up your hands to receive. And if you want healing or emotional pain, healing for emotional pain or physical pain, open your hands to receive. And if you've got some anxious thoughts and some worries, why don't you open them as if you're giving them over to Jesus and surrendering? So, let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Father God, you are a great big God. You are here with us this morning. Let your kingdom come. Come, Holy Spirit. Just stay engaged in prayer. Keep receiving. Just wait. Just listen to what Father God is saying. Father, I ask that you would receive the prayers of your children and we release healing in Jesus' name. Still in prayer, keep receiving. If you don't need a physical healing this morning, and if you can touch the part of your body that's sore, if it's like your shoulder or your knee or your back, if you touch that right now, go ahead, do that now, and then I'll pray. Father God, I pray for physical healing. Would you release healing this morning? And I speak to the pain in Jesus' name. And the power and authority, go in Jesus' name. And for those of you with worries and anxious thoughts, I would encourage you to put your hands on your stomach. And I pray for those anxious thoughts, for those worries, for those doubts, for those anxieties. Holy Spirit, will you just release your peace? You take those anxious thoughts, will you still the stomach, will you untie the knot and make it smooth? As you surrender your anxieties, maybe you want to see them out if you can, name what the anxieties are. I'll give you a few minutes to do that. And I just pray. Release of your peace, Father, as you take off all these anxieties and all these worries, that you will replace it with your peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's just pray, continue praying. Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your mercy. I ask that your presence will remain with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much this morning. It's been so wonderful to come and give you God's word. But if you've experienced a demonstration of God's power, I would love to hear from you. So why don't you drop me a message at info@falkirkvineyard.com and let me know all about it. And if you raised your hands for salvation, I would love to hear from you too and send you some information or even just to chat through your decision.